And we're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples chatting here today with City Manager Ron Fear and Manhattan Mayor Yusha Reddy. City Commission meets tonight with their legislative meeting tonight at 7 p.m. at City Hall. And we're going to go ahead and dive into the agenda here tonight. Item A is a considering of the first reading of an ordinance rezoning 922 Riley Lane from R2, two-family residential district, to I3, light industrial district.
Thanks, Brandon. This is a request by the owner of the property to rezone about a third of an acre tract from a current two-family residential district, as you said, to an industrial I3 light industrial district. The owner is proposing to demo some existing single-family duplex structures that are in the area and go with light industrial, and hasn't really offered a lot of details as a result of that request. The planning board did review this at their most recent meeting, and they recommended denial on a vote of 5-0, and that was also based on city staff's recommendation for denial. In order for the commission to confer or concur with the request, then it would take a supermajority or four votes by the commission to override that planning board recommendation, and with specific reasons that relate to the zoning in question. And then a simple majority of three commissioners could send it back to the planning board for additional discussion, again with specific reasons for doing so. Kind of unusual, don't get it all together, but it kind of comes through as a request with not a lot of detailed information, where allows the property owner to expand an industrial district. There is it is adjacent to some industrial district, but it does start to encroach into the residential neighborhood with more industrial. So I think that's one of the primary reasons for recommending the denial.
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll have definitely a discussion about this, but we do value what the Manhattan Urban Planning Board also recommends, as well as city staff. So we'll see what happens this evening and look forward to the presentation.
And so it sounds like the denial basically just because you don't have enough information then.
It's part of it. But, I mean, an individual can certainly ask to rezone property. Obviously, their intent is that they want to develop some of the adjacency to, again, has that light industrial already. And so it's at least adjacent to that aspect. I think the key issue is recommends that it does encroach into the residential area with more industrial. Again, not really any information on, how much traffic is that going to generate. It's not a, the Riley Lane's a very narrow street as it is. Most of the Riley Lane at that location is more like an alley than a typical street. But it is the primary service road for folks that live along that street in that particular area. So, we'll see if there's more discussion by the commission this evening.
Okay. So that'll be the first item up for discussion here tonight. And the second item here, item B, probably we'll have a little more lengthy conversation, and that is the consideration of authorizing a request for qualifications for your housing market analysis and strategy study.
Right. And this was a topic of a work session recently. And so the commission, majority of commissioners agreed with moving forward for the request for qualifications process. Again, this is have a draft outline of the request for qualifications to select a consultant to come in and help develop actually do a lot of data analysis on our existing housing in the community, as well as look at helping with policy strategies. And there's been quite a bit of discussion and some work by groups to look at more specifically, I would say, affordable type housing, although one of the things that we're wanting to be a little more comprehensive is to talk about suitable housing. And this is not only based on what the needs might be today, as well as in the future. So by suitable housing, we look at, what is the type of workforce that we're hoping to develop or that we need to sustain in the community today, and what is the type of housing that best reflects that workforce and that future workforce, and are we meeting it, and what policies could be established to assist with that. And that's could be a full range of things, from single family neighborhoods to townhomes to apartments, again in many different ranges of cost factor. So based on individuals and the future workforce and current workforce ability and income level. So it covers the gamut of different aspects. If you look at traditional expansion in residential subdivisions, and that ties back to how much of our utility expansion do we need to do as a result of that? How much additional water and water capacity does this particular development take into account at our treatment plants and our well fields and our distribution systems and our water towers, as well as the sewer collection system? And then on the other side of that, if you look at some of the upzoning we've done for the urban core district east of campus and the multifamily areas, where we're converting traditionally single-family homes or rental property that are single structures to more multifamily and high-density apartments. So how is that going to impact the existing infrastructure there, from water service lines to sanitary sewer lines, and do those need to be replaced or upgraded, and all of those things? And then the stormwater side is something we've been focusing on a lot lately with how do we develop our stormwater infrastructure as a result of that. And there was a lot of discussion at the commission meeting about what funds we should utilize to pay for it. But our housing and infrastructure go hand in hand, and so I think it's one of those components that's certainly appropriate to utilize some of that. And we're proposing that the CIP, the commission that approved the item in the original capital improvements program, had identified $95,000 for the study, half to be covered through economic development, and the other half to be covered out of our water, wastewater, and stormwater utilities split equally there. So I think that's certainly a very reasonable and appropriate use of the funds. And I think the getting some help in here to really identify future policies and existing policies for how we focus on improving and obtaining the type of housing stock we need to sustain current situations, but also the workforce and needs of the future, whether that be retirees and different components of that, which we've worked on. We've got some affordable senior development that was a recent item, and so there's a full gamut of that, and just really help to look at what are those needs that are forecast for our community. And housing is different in every community. All of them have some of their unique characteristics for what their challenges are.
Yeah, one of the things we noticed is, first of all, this has been a discussion for several years. Every time I've been on the City Commission, we've always talked about housing, whether it's affordable housing, suitable housing. And even when K-State professors, decide they recruit professors and faculty to come here, they're always there's this sticker shock with our pricing for our houses. So I think having some kind of data to help us move forward instead of just assuming we know what type of homes or what kind of price ranges or even our codes, all of that is impacting. We had Commissioner McKee in the past, and he was living in a mobile unit, and he has a full-time job. He is a city commissioner, and anytime there was any kind of heavy rains or flooding, it was flooding his area and his neighborhood, and he was having stormwater problems. So this is something that we want young professionals that are being impacted by, as well as individuals on fixed income. But there are families that are looking for a different type of housing. We see more retired folks moving into somewhere like downtown. So all you have to do is you know, everything is walking accessible. So you want that urban density. That's something we keep hearing about. And now young families don't want to have a lawn to mow and all of that. They just want to have a place to raise their children and then go around walking or bike riding or walk to school, whatever it might be. So they're kind of thinking differently about what housing looks like. And we need that type of information to make sure we are doing what's right for not only Manhattan, but to keep us moving forward. We can't just have developers continue building the way they are or not even think about K-State students or whatever it might be if we're outpricing people or if we're not keeping up with the trends that current generation is looking for. So this is something reasonable that we need to be doing. And like I said, we've been talking about a housing study for years now. It's high time we have some data to follow up on.
You know, and you hear a lot from folks when they're moving here that the cost of living is just way too high. Do you anticipate that with this you'd be able to maybe bridge why the price is rising so much?
So, you know, sometimes it is our codes, and sometimes you get what you pay for. And in the city of Manhattan, we have pretty good quality housing, but certainly it may not be affordable for everybody. And those are areas where we can actually look at how can we make housing more affordable for the folks that are moving into Manhattan or into our surrounding regional area. And I think this will help us. And it will also help. So this the housing study is also going to have a steering committee, which will be comprised of realtors and developers, construction workers, K-State student, senior citizens, individuals from a variety of demographics, so that they can tell us their needs and see what we need to have in the city of Manhattan. We can sit as city commissioners, but we don't know what everybody's needs are. And this is kind of trying to get an impartial group, bring all of that together and tell us what we can do differently. So I don't have all of the solutions, but we need the data to make sure we can go towards the right type of solutions for our community.
And this study sounds a lot similar to what you hear maybe like in a comprehensive plan. Would that be fair to say?
The comprehensive plan certainly will guide that as far as, where can housing redevelop or what's appropriate for that. We certainly have areas of the community identified where that might be. This really is to kind of guide some policies. So one of the things that's been talked about over the years might be how do we reuse some of the existing housing stock and improve it. And so maybe you're converting what's been a rental property for 20 years back to a single family home. The super frame is still there to do that. And so that could be very expensive to do. And so how do you are there policies that the governing body can put in place that would incentivize that type of thing? And with the investments that have been made in our neighborhood schools, that's certainly something that land use certainly is a component of determining what those policies are in certain areas. And so all of those things, I think, will be important. Again, as the mayor said, as we involve all of the community stakeholders to really focus on what are some current issues that we need to have policy situations on, and then what are more future components as MBAF comes online, and if we're successful in attracting more types of labs and those type of businesses, what kind of housing do those future employees need to be able to do that? And then at the same time, all of that's going to be want more services too. So what is the service sector and those employees going to need for housing? And so it really is more of a very broad community look as opposed to something specifically, say, like student housing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, very good. That'll be a big topic here tonight. We will take a break, come back with more In Focus after this on News Radio KMAN.